Wasn't that great? I tell you what, I just love seeing them kids. You see the little guys sitting down and, you know, people trying to move them back up. And they just, man, some of them crying. You know, you need a video of that because that'd be really fun at their wedding or something to show it. Amen. So, it's amazing how kids do grow up. You know, I was thinking of the scriptures that the Bible teaches over in Isaiah 9. And if you take your Bible there, please, Isaiah 9, have it there. Isaiah 9, chapter 1. And let's stand and give God the reading word today. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee and the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy of harvest, as a man rejoices, divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be the burning of the fuel fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the throne of kingdom, to order it and to establish judgment with his justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent the word into Jacob, and it hath lightened upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride of the stoutness of heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you just help us today as we look into the scriptures. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that there was a time in history, his story, that you came to this world over 2,000 years ago to lighten our hearts and give us peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you chose to come. You didn't have to, but you did. And you fulfilled the scriptures throughout the Old Testament and New Testament on who you'd be. Lord, there's no question about it, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, we just read. Actually, I think we read until 9. God was telling the children of Israel that there was coming a Prince of Peace. And as you all, for most of you know, that there's a lot of difficulties going on during the time of the Israelites. From the time of the takeover of Nebuchadnezzar, who from Babylon came over and literally completely destroyed Israel, came in and burned everything, even brought in dirt and filled in the cracks and crevices of that land so that it wasn't familiar to even the people that lived there anymore. And they kept them in Babylon. And then, of course, you remember the story how the Persians, Medes and Persians came in and took over for Nebuchadnezzar. And the Persians said, let's send you back. which is an incredible thing, because usually when war takes, you take everything you get, used to be, of course. And so we see this unfolding of scriptures that God has promised us, is that there is going to come a king. And so we look at the scriptures here in John 1:14. It talks about the Word became fleshed. Anytime you see the Word, usually it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one in the creation. God spoke this world into existence. It was His Word, His power of His Word. Scripture says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so John's right here and said, I just want you to know that we were there and we saw Him. 1 John, he wrote something like that over in 1 John. He says, the things we have seen and we have heard declare we unto you. And he's wanting them to understand that this is truly the Son of God. There's a lot of people that have a lot of questions today about, you know, I don't know about it. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. Hey, we're just like a bunch of animals. We're here for a while. We die and that's it. Well, that's not what God said. And I asked a lot of people say those things to me, and I said, well, were you there? Were you there? Well, no, I wasn't there. Well, I said, I have ancient documents that say that Jesus Christ truly created the heavens and the earth. Do you have any documents? No, I just don't believe that junk. Well, you go into this old world and you check a few things out, and it certainly will prove that there must be a God. All the incredible things that we see. So the Word became flesh, and then we also understand the scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus became flesh, a reiteration of it. Hereby know we the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. And then the Bible says, 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that a deceiver and an antichrist. So you want to be very careful that you do not say that Jesus Christ too is not the Son of God. Third, the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity became flesh, and Emmanuel did not possess humanity until birth. And humanity was sinless. His humanity is sinless in the fact that the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit guarded very carefully by having Paul the Apostle write, and it said that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in the likeness, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now I want you to look at the prophecies. I know that tonight you're going to hear a lot about Emmanuel. You'll hear songs sung about Emmanuel tonight. But I want you to look at this word Emmanuel. Isaiah told the Jews that the union of deity and humanity would take place. He said that a child would be born. That's a reference to his humanity. And he said that that child would be born, and the character would be such that it would show and prove that he was mighty God. I'm going to give you a little Hebrew lesson this morning. I know you didn't come for school today, but I'm going to give you a little Hebrew lesson this morning. The Hebrew word here used when you read about that he's going to come as the mighty God is El Gabor. I was thinking about Jaja, but that's not having anything to do with Jaja. But anyway, El Gabor, Gabor, all right? And it is always and only used in the reference to deity. Remember now, El Gabor is only used, it's only used in the Hebrew language, having to do with deity. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and here we go, El Gabor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah used El, only reference for God. But the rest of the word was Gabor. The Hebrew word means hero. You know, it's kind of like the, when you were playing football, and you got to be a football hero to get along with them beautiful girls. And that was this kind of idea, the hero, you know. Guys come home from the military service, and they've, I know my uncle got the Flying Star, he received a lot of medals for being a B-17 bomber pilot. He came home as a hero. He didn't want anybody to know that, but he was a hero, just like many of you, maybe grandfathers or fathers did, or even some that are with us today. And had this idea with a hero. And so, do you remember an angel named Gabriel? Guess what Gabriel in the Hebrew word is? Gabor, that's right. So when you think of Gabriel, you're thinking of the hero. Actually, his name means hero of God. And so thus the phrase means hero whose chief characteristic is that when we talk about the Almighty God, is that he is God. And, of course, all our heroes. He's our hero. Thus, in a single verse, we find both the humanity and the deity of the Lord predicted. Not only was the mighty God or the El Gabor, he was also Emmanuel. Emmanuel revealed the same truth about the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word that Isaiah used means that God's present. It means that he will be with his people. It is a providential dealing here. It means the very text, the very presence of the virgin-born child brought God to his people. That's that little word. That's what that little Emmanuel means. It means the very presence of the virgin-born child brought God to his people. Emmanuel, God with us. You'll hear that a lot tonight in the singing. Make it a little plainer. God to us, or God with us, is God. Isn't that amazing? With us is God. In this world, in this life that we go through, many times we definitely need some help. May I say all the time we need some help. There's always something going on, isn't there? And to be alone is a very scary thing. To be all by yourself in some dark place that you've never been there before, it's pretty scary. It's horrendous sometimes. And many of us in our life, we're going through some things. We've never been there before. Some of you are having babies. You've never been there before. Some of you have children, and they're about to go to school, and you've never been there before. And some of you have children that are leaving your home and going to college, or leaving your home, getting married, or some of you, some of the children are gone. Woohoo! And you just don't see them anymore. And some of us hear some medical problems, and the dreaded C word, cancer, comes, and all of a sudden we feel so alone, and maybe a spouse passes away, and all of a sudden we've never been there before. Last week I was at a funeral for my dear friend Buzz Baker, and his wife came up and hugged me, and she says, Sheldon, I've never been hurt so bad in my life. I don't know what to do. So, this world brings a lot of that stuff to us, wouldn't you agree? And isn't it wonderful that we know that there's a God who is with us? We have a God who does not, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some of the times in life that seems like that things are just forsaken us, and our family forsakes us, and our friends forsake us, and all the things that just seem like just blow up in our face, I want you to know There's one who will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His name is Jesus Christ. And he said, if you invite me, if you invite Emmanuel into your heart, he promises to never leave you. He says, God to us, Emmanuel, God to us, or God is, or with us is God. This is very symbolic, the prophetic name of Messiah and Christ. Isaiah was prophesying that he would be born of a virgin and would be God with us, or with us is God. Therefore, it was to show us that with our wicked, sinful, depraved world and soul of our own, we cannot change God's design, nor will. He will be accomplished. Whether you are willing to hear him or whether you're unwilling to hear him, his will be done. The Lord himself, of his own free will, literally was unmasked by God for us. The Old Testament said, Paul the Apostle said, this is this great mystery. And then Paul explains it. Hey, I know the mystery. I just want to tell you about it. Have you ever been to watch the magician? They do all kinds of things, you know, and sleight of hands. We had a Christian magician came to our church. He said, it's all sleight of hand. There's nothing magic about it. He said, my hands are just quicker than your eyes. And he brought a little boy up there, and this little boy had a little tape on his eye because he had I guess they call it lazy eye or something like that. And he came, and he's the cutest little guy you ever seen. And he came up there, and he pulled a silver dollar out of his ear and threw it in this big can. The little kid looks like that. He did it again. And he said, do that again! And the place went crazy. And you couldn't see how he's doing it. But afterwards he showed, he said he had this deal. And on the side, he just had a place that he could just thumb flip a silver dollar out of this spring-loaded deal. And there's another one. He just kept bringing on. The kid said, do it again. He ran out of silver dollars. But anyway, it's a mystery. We don't understand all of it. We just can't figure it out sometimes. And that was with when God promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that he would come. Jesus would come. And what a thrill it is to us to know that Jesus did come. And Jesus is here for us. And he wanted us to understand these things. Now, no sign come in various, we know that signs come in various forms. They might be actual miracles that God performs. They might come as commissioned judgment of God. They might come significant to the power of justice. They might be memorials sometimes done in the past, or pledges of something still future, or signs might be miracles of prophetic announcement. But anyway, there are different signs that God was given for mankind to say, hey, here he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And by the way, just like he says today, the trump of God shall sound as the dead in Christ arise, and we which are alive shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. There's some signs coming. There's some signs showing of that today. And so as the Old Testament said, hey, this is what you're to look for. This is what you're to look for. And I want to give you some of those. Behold a virgin. Or you could put actually where the word A is, you could put the. Because behold, the virgin shall conceive. The world, the haters of Jesus Christ, the haters of deity have gone well out of their way to question whether or not the word virgin really means virgin in the Bible, because if the Christ haters and the ungodly and the diabolical could make their case and said that the word Alma, A-L-M-A-H, in the Hebrew, does not mean virgin, but it only means a young girl, that would certainly take away our promise of God. And it would take away the sign that God said. It will be the virgin shall give us a child. Describe the mother, the holy Christ child, can be translated into young woman or not virgin. We have no proof of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And there has to be a sinlessness of the Christ child. There has to be a sinlessness of Jesus Christ himself while he walked on this earth, or we have no hope. We have no hope at all. But praise God we do. You can be assured that the Hebrew word Alma means virgin. The meaning is borne out by every place in which the word occurs in this, in the Hebrew language, whether it be scriptural Hebrew or secular Hebrew. The Holy Word of God in the Old Testament, it always is rendered virgin. Its distinction has the support of modern Hebrewists, the men that study the words, study the language of Hebrew. They attest to the fact that Alma means virgin, a woman who has never been with a man or known a man. Loth and Genesis and Ewald and Delitz and Kay, these great men, these great scholars said, that's the only way that you can translate that Alma. It is one who's never been with a man. Unless the Hebrew word Alma is translated virgin, there is no announcement made worthy of grand prelude of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine today something happened that over 2,000 years ago and people are still talking about it? Is there anything like that? Absolutely not. There has to be something to it, amen. People are still here, even in the harshest places of the world, they're still talking about Christmas. They're still talking about Jesus Christ being born. Crazy. It's just exciting to me. The Lord God himself shall give you a sign. Behold. In fact, the Hebrew is not rendered a virgin, it's actually the virgin. Now, Jesus our Emmanuel, the reasons for believing this, none but Jesus was ever born of a pure virgin, only Jesus. None. I say none, according to the Word of God. Don't you think that'd be quite a news blast? If someone had a baby who was never married, never known a man, of course it would. It's a distinguishing. It's a perfect sign. Literally, no one can fake that. Secondly, none but Jesus was ever called God with us. None but Jesus was ever refused the evil. None but Jesus only chose but good. I don't know about you, but I know I'm a sinner. And I know some of you rascals out there, you're sinners too. You take 5 minutes with me and I'll take an hour with you and we'll both know each other as sinners, amen. All have sinned and come short of God. But there's one who never sinned. Thank God it's Jesus, amen. Once one accepts this faith, he becomes willing to follow this God-man. If Jesus is God with us, then we're going to obey him. If Jesus is God with us, we will strive to imitate him. I've challenged our people the last couple of times I've been speaking here. Challenge them. Let's be like Jesus. Well, that changed our homes. That changed the places that we work. That would change everything about us. And not only that, but it would change everything about who we really are. If we really believe that God is with us, we'll certainly imitate him. If Jesus is God with us, we'll continue to worship and pray to him. If Jesus is with us, then we will love him. If Jesus is with us, then we will love others. If Jesus is with us, then we'll even love those who hate us and persecute us. If Jesus is with us, then we will realize that he is always with us, which will change our whole life and our behavior in this present world. I want you to look at the deity of Christ. He is deity. God with us. He is humanity. He was conceived and born of a woman just to prove he ate earthly food. He was touched. He was felt. He was heard. They watched him. They saw him do great miracles. Even the first century Hebrew historian, Josephus, writes about this Jesus from Nazareth. He loved and bestowed pardon and grace. Ah, what a thought. He is not against us. He's on our side. He's not our adversary. He's our Father. He says, call and cry upon me as Abba Father. That is the closest term you can go to Daddy or Papa or Pa. He was the atonement for our sins. He paid for my sins so that I would not have to pay for them. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But thank God, Emmanuel says, hey, listen to me. I'll pay him for you. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. So he's our pardon. He pardons us from our sinful nature. I've always loved this beautiful song called All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Edward Perronet wrote this hymn, and it goes like this. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let high-born seraph tune the lyre, and as they tune it, fall before the face who tunes their choir and crowns him Lord of all. Crown him, ye morning stars of light, who fix this floating ball. Now hail the strength of Israel's might, and crown him Lord of all. Crown him, ye martyrs of your God, who from his altar call, extol the stem of Jesse's rod, and crown him Lord of all. Ye seed of Israel's chosen race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him, ye heirs of David's line, whom David's Lord did call, the God incarnate, man divine, crown him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every tribe and every tongue before him prostrate fall and shout in universal song and crown him Lord of all. I was looking at a songbook, and I noticed, I think our songbook only has like 3 different verses, but he wrote a lot more verses. And I found it a while back. And then a man back in 1787, a guy named John Rippon, he added one more verse. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. Join in everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Join him with everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. I don't know about you, but just to think the thought of a God who created this magnificent universe, and we Montanans get to enjoy the beauty of his great creation. And if you travel around the world, you'll see the magnificent sights that God has made from the beautiful crystal seas and the ocean and the beautiful white sand beaches. And I'm making you envious here, amen. And to see the magnificent whales up in Alaska, and I'm just over to Hawaii last spring, and the whales are all down there, and seeing them leap out of the water, huge. I mean, they're bigger than train locomotives. I'm just straight up and splashing. Incredible to see what God, and God feeds them with this little green krill, this little plankton. Eat good night. You wonder how in the world talking get that big, get that big from that little food. It's amazing. Amazing how God has created us. And then, I guess probably the most magnificent thing is when Daddy and Mama had their first have a baby and see that little child. My goodness. What an amazing miracle, amen. And this God who spoke this world in condition, in this world into existence. Studying some things about the Hubble telescope just amazes me. And NASA has some pictures out there. And that crazy thing got past Mars and all of a sudden opened up its cameras and took pictures of the outer atmosphere, outer universe. And there's pictures of stars that just are incredible. You know what? I guess they're not for us. They're for God because we can't see them. And God created all that for him. But he says, come here, son. I want to show you something. I just want you to know that I love you. And I've come to this earth in a humble beginning. Come to an inn, and the inn didn't have room for him. And put him in a stable. And be born so low. Yet he was the God of all creation. How can anybody walk away from a God who's come and said, I love you? How can anybody shun the saying that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you walk away from that? How can a person say, I don't need that? That's not for me. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says it's appointed on a man once to die, and then the judgment. And we will be judged. What we do with Emmanuel, what we do with the El Gabor, the mighty God. We will be judged for what we do with the Prince of Peace. I pray today that you would receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you'd thank God and praise God for what he has done for you. It's an incredible thing. Can you imagine us mortals receiving the immortal God? The perfect, the all-knowing. And he literally says, come unto me, all ye that are laden, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest from your sins, peace in your life, of God's promise, that he'll give it to you. Won't you receive it today? Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, there's a God in heaven that loves us so much that he gives us so much. He opened up the veil. He says, this is the mystery that you were questioned about. I want you to know, here it is. This is what it's all about. I'm going to give you the combination of how you can get to heaven. Simple, one word, believe. One word, faith. One word, trust. Simple as that. Dear God, I pray that anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day they would receive this marvelous, marvelous Son of God who has done it all for us. All we have to do is come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to receive him today. Right where you're sitting there, why don't you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and cover your heart? Mr. Prince, I really don't know too much about that. I'll tell you what. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. That's as simple as it gets, but so profound. Here they say, preacher, today, I want this Christ. I want this creator of this universe. I want him to be my savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today. And you say, today, I would like to receive him as my personal savior. I'm going to be up front here. If you'd like to come to Christ, you come right now. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. Pianist is going to play. You come right now and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. Boy, I'd sure love to show you the Word of God. How you know for sure that Emmanuel is with you, in your heart. The El Gabor, the hero of all of us. The anointed one, only one can be he, and he is. Why don't you come to Christ today? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, let me show you from the Word of God how it can be. By the way, I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here to make sure that you know for sure that Jesus Christ lives within your heart. That he is yours. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Or maybe you're here and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to be part of. Why don't you come at this time? You're not saved? You're not sure you're on your way to heaven? Hey, what a great time, Christmas time of the year, when Jesus came just for you. Why don't you come for him and say, I want you as my Savior. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to understand the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for opening up this mystery for 1,000 years. People just couldn't understand it. But, Lord Jesus, when you came, people said, ah, I get it. I understand. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd be with each one of us today. Lord, I pray for tonight, our services tonight in the cantata. God bless these folks who worked so hard to perform this beautiful musical. Pray God you'd bless. Help us, Lord, today as we go out and serve you. Keep us safe. Thank you for our children today that put so much time in there and the folks who worked so hard. Bless them for that. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.